Hi, I'm Melody.
I'm Tara.
And this is Skip, Shuffle, Repeat, a podcast about compact memories in jewel cases. We're exploring music and friendship through the artifact of CD.
Join us as we revisit the sounds that shaped our lives.
I feel like we need music. That's great. Hi, Tara.
It was great. You know, we do need music because that's the first time we've done it in one take and not had to like pause and giggle and make fun of ourselves. So, you know what? We've come a long way. So I think some celebratory music is deserved.
That's good. How's it going?
Great.
Great.
Super great. How are you?
Good. Yeah. My book is falling apart that I bought us. I don't know if yours is. Like every page is just ripping out. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to enjoy the chaos of it.
The sound of all of the loose pages.
Yeah. Mine, they're like, I'm being so gentle with them because they are still attached. Barely.
Good luck with that.
Oh, they're going to come out. I can tell. There's one that's free-floating, I think, already. This is a fun one because this one you picked and sent to me.
Mm-hmm. I did. Oh, I don't know how to introduce this because I always just let you do the thing. Okay, so yes. Do I get to do the reveal now and
say what it is? Let's talk about what it is that you sent to me. Okay. And then demanded back, which we'll get into.
Right. I broke all of our pod rules with this one because I was not supposed to be the one sending the CDs. I was supposed to be receiving them in order to help Melody clear out her massive CD collection. So that was rule number one that I broke. But then the other rule is that
I feel like that rule has been adjusted, though. I like the back and forth. So I want to clarify that while you did break the rule now has been changed and the rule doesn't exist, even though I have way more CDs than you. So it is still going to lean towards me, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like a 3-1 or a 17-1. We can figure that out.
Second rule that you broke though.
Yeah. The second one is about demanding it back because again, the point was to, clear some space in Melody's collection. And so I've been holding on to the albums. And this one, I said, no, you cannot keep this one because it's very special. And so, drum roll, the CD is Dr. Dog, Takers and Leavers. It is their EP, and it is a limited edition version of it that has a cardboard cover, a photo of Sacré-Cœur from Paris.
Very appropriate.
And a ton of like markers and stickers and scribbles on it from the band.
Did you know when you gave it to me that it was so special?
Well, I knew it was special to me in my heart because of the context in which I purchased it. But I didn't realize it was that rare until like you mentioned it when you were like, oh, here's your CD back. I get it now. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? And so I looked it up and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I did a little research and I was like, oh, this is why she wants this back. It is 1 of 1,000 copies. And each copy is kind of special of those 1,000 copies. Why did you pick the album?
I picked it because Dr. Dog has a special place in my life. And it covers multiple eras of my life. So when I was living in Dallas, when I was living in Chicago, when I was living in Kansas, it spanned all of those eras. And I do really like the cover art. Like it's got a picture from Paris on it. And it's like this vintage, like one of those like Fuji Insta photo. Like it's a mini Polaroid-esque mm-hmm. kind of photo. And I just, I like the visual appeal and the sentimentality of it.
Nice.
I didn't remember how few songs were on this CD.
There are only six. So our top five is going to be a top six.
Yeah. Yeah.
Six whole songs on this tiny little EP. Two of the songs were re-released later, right? On another album. Yep. So only four songs that are original and exclusive to this EP. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you listen to this album a lot? Was it in full circulation, or had you put it away and then you brought it back by being like, I'm going to give this to Melody, and then be like, immediately I need it back. And then
it was the second of those two scenarios. Because we've talked about, I have like 8 CDs that are still in their cases, and this is one of them. Yeah. And so it sits with my now growing CD collection.
You're welcome.
And yeah. And so I saw it as I was adding some of yours in there, and I was like, oh, I love this. And so I just did it. So I didn't have a lot of intention about picking it, just that it felt like the right call.
Well, I will say that the case was super cool. I do, obviously, the Sacré-Cœur photo was awesome. I was like, oh, that's matchy-matchy. We love Paris and definitely have an affinity for it. And that felt very appropriate for us. And then I literally have a note that's like, who added these stickers? Because there's these little circular looking stickers that look like office kind of stickers that you get, and then there's writing on it, and I legit was like, I don't know if somebody
has the case been vandalized. Is that
yeah, what exactly? I was like, maybe during a low-key night at home, you're like, I'm gonna listen to this album and mark it up. Which is what prompted me to look up, to do a little research about this, and then learned the 1,000 copies. Each one is kind of like handmade by the band. And I thought that was really neat. Mm-hmm. So super cool case. It's in great condition. You have kept it in pristine condition. Mm-hmm. Even though, again, it looks like it might be vandalized. That is the point. But the actual, like, it's not falling apart. It's, really good. It is a cardboard case. So, like, there are no liner notes.
Right.
There is no insert in it. It is what it is. So, it's got all these, like, stamped words, right, on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I think some of them are about the album, potentially, like, who produced it kind of thing.
Yep.
And I can't remember if some of them are like little words and phrases as well.
They definitely have the tracks stamped on the back, and then they have the album title Takers and Leavers stamped several times. And then on the inside, they have, some of the classic acknowledgments. They're all songs published, all songs written by Dr. Dog. And then they have their website. My favorite stamp on here, though, says Dr. Dog is tables, taxi, text, thanks, and triumph. I like that one. And they do say that tracks 1 and 2 are on the forthcoming LP that was going to be released in 2007. So they acknowledge that on the liner notes, quote unquote.
And then, so is this the first album you got by them, or did you backtrack to get this? Do you know?
This was the first CD that I bought from them. And we have a 7-inch record of the song Goner. Mm-hmm. That is in a similar like style. It's got the stamps and the handwriting on it. And that was released around the same time. So part of me was like, oh, did we get that first and then the CD? But I'm pretty sure we got the CD first. And I think we got it at the concert that we went to. So
that would make sense. It seems like a concert merchandise purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly how few it is, right? Like you, you didn't go to a store and be like, hey,
mm-hmm.
neat. When was the concert? Where was the concert?
The concert was in October of 2005 at Trees in Dallas. And this is controversial, in fact, because on the Trees website, they say that the venue closed in May of 2005. And they are incorrect. Because we were there in October. And of course, Trees reopened several years later. But that was me and Justin's first official date. And Dr. Dog opened for Architecture in Helsinki, an Australian band.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Justin just bought 4 tickets to go see this concert and then was like,
do you want to go?
Yeah. After he'd already asked his 2 coworkers to go. So it was three of them and then me. Yeah. So this album, this EP, has a stamp inside that says 2006, which tells me that I may not have purchased it the first time I saw Dr. Dog, but maybe the second time, which was in 2006.
Well, this is my first time listening to this album. And I have to say, I think maybe my first time listening to a complete Dr. Dog album.
What?
I have listened to a lot of Dr. Dog, mostly through you. But so like I have them in playlists that I have. So I knew Dr. Dog when you gave this to me, and I also knew that you were a fan. But I was also like, have I ever listened to a Dr. Dog album? And I've looked it up and I don't think I have. So this was the first one and I loved it. I didn't love all of them. We'll get into it, but definitely my speed, my kind of music. I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. So yeah, it was my first one. And I knew you would be shocked to find out that I've never listened to a complete Dr. Dog album until now.
Mm-hmm. I am
and
shocked.
This isn't even an album because it's only 6 songs.
Yeah. And it's nowhere near their best. Like it's really, it's not, but it's good. There is a chance that you saw them with us in 2006.
I've seen them before with
okay,
you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I know Dr. Dog and I've listened to their music. I've just never then moved into the let's get an album and listen to it category.
Yeah, I hear you.
Which I think is kind of weird because I have always enjoyed their music. I don't think I've ever loved it, you know, but I've definitely enjoyed it and liked it. So, yeah. Listening to it this time, did it bring up any like memories for you of that time? Any like kind of firm, you know, sharp memories where you're like, oh, yeah, that was that.
I certainly got some of those pings in my memories when I was looking through their concerts to try to recreate the list of concerts of theirs that I've been to. And then that brought like a flood of memories about that particular time. You know, one of the shows that we went to was at Good Records on Lower Greenville. And so then I was just like, oh my gosh, that's right. 2006. If you didn't see me like on a particular day, there was a good chance I was either at the Cavern or Snuffers or
I recently brought up the Cavern because it's no longer there.
Oh,
and I was trying to describe to somebody what it was and how dirty and disgusting it was, but how much we loved it because it was just couches in the dark. And then at the end of the night, they would turn on the lights because yes, we closed down the bar then and now. And the lights would come on and you'd be like, oh.
I've been sitting in this filthy couch for hours. Oh,
disgusting. You really wish that they would have figured out another way to make everyone leave than turn on the lights, because it was abrupt and uncomfortable every time.
Yeah.
And such a small, cute bar.
But it doesn't deter us. We would go back. Like, it was fine.
I feel like we were there all the time. We loved that bar. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's the cavern. I mean, it's literally a cave. It's just dark and dreary. And I miss it.
Yeah.
I was driving down Lower Greenville not too long ago. And now it's like a club, a dance club on top of a wine bar. And I was like, the times, they have changed, you know? Good Records is long gone, unfortunately, and is now like a body workout shop. It's weird. Yeah, it was a time. Lots of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of dirty couches at the Cavern. Snuffers is still delightful. Anybody go if you're in Dallas.
Yep.
Get the cheese fries and the chicken sandwich. Hasn't changed at all. So good. Yeah, I like that you can remember your concerts. This is a project I've thought about and think I've spoken about quite a bit. I need to write a list. I need to go through and start with the ones that I know that I went to, and then try to recreate the ones that like really dig into my memory to figure out the ones mm-hmm. that I don't remember at the top of my head. Because I did go to a lot of shows, and I often am like, was I there? Mm-hmm. How many times have I seen Radiohead, for example?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it was really interesting on doing it or kind of recreating it for this, because I have a list that has been held captive by Facebook, because it's in that old notes section of Facebook that you can't access anywhere unless you like download your whole account data and then sift through, find it or something. And so I submitted that request to get my data. So I will eventually be able to find that note of all the concerts that I've been to, but I didn't have it in prep for our conversation. So as I was going back through, I was like, holy hell, Dr. Dog toured so heavily during that time. And I made a list of like 20 shows that I might have gone to. And I had to go back through and like really wrestle, like, okay, would I have gone to that venue at that point in time? Right. Like, they played at Gilly's a couple of times in Dallas. Wow. And I was like, I don't think I ever went to that venue. I have no memories of that. So I could cross off like three of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like trying to use the Internet Archive of tour schedules to figure out what shows I went to. It was
like it from your memory.
Yeah.
How many did you get? What do you have, like, a firmly, I know I went to this many and potentially I went to this many more?
I feel confident that there are 5 shows that I went to. There might have been 2 more that I'm not certain of.
I was bummed out because they're not touring any longer.
Yeah.
They definitely
did that like hard stop kind of thing.
Well, and it's like, I'm bummed out, but I'm also like, want to congratulate them for doing that, because they were obviously touring a whole lot for a long time and obviously just came to a place where they were like, we just can't keep putting ourselves and our lives and our loved people, you know, through mm-hmm. this. So it's commendable, but it was also like, well, that's a bummer. I'd like to see them again, you know?
Yeah, totally.
They're working on a new album currently. As part of this, I have started following their Instagram page. Oh. I don't know if you follow that or not.
No.
It is run by them. They claim it's the longest running, like, self-done band Instagram page. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, they're recording right now in a house, in like a cabin kind of situation, and they seem to be having a great time. So upcoming album will happen. They just want
that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the new album and no tour, because they might change their minds.
Yeah. And it sounds like they're all doing solo projects too. Like, they're all kind of split off and doing their own thing. Scott McMicken, Is his name McMicken? If his last name is McMicken, that's like a, it's like a super bad joke. Sorry, Scott. Sorry. Your last name's great. But he's doing his own thing. And I followed him too, because I was like, he had a whole thing about tape cassettes. You know how much I love tape cassettes. And I'm not sure if he is like just collecting them or helping to produce and put them out. But I got real excited. So I was like, I'm following this guy. And he's going to help me get tape cassettes that I can't play because I don't have a tape cassette player right now, but I want one. And he also had his setup, how he's playing tape cassette. And I was like, this is profesh. So I'm going to tag it and try to copy it. It was exciting. That is
exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you've seen them 5 times.
Yes. The first time I already shared is at Trees, the historic venue in Dallas. There was a, for those who don't know Trees, they were known for when Nirvana played there, and there was a big incident that happened because there was no barricade between the crowd and the band and lots of drama. Yeah, so they were there in 2005 in October, despite what their website says. And we went for,
I like that you're calling out Trees multiple times. You're like, you were wrong. Update your website, please.
And we went to see Architecture in Helsinki that we were really, really into at the time. Well, Justin was really into, and we didn't know anything about Dr. Dog. So this was our first introduction. And I remember that show because, again, it felt like a small venue. I don't actually know how big it is or was.
It's small. It was small. A small venue. Yeah, for sure. That's one of the things that was great about Trees, is that big bands would come through. You would see really great people, but it was a pretty small venue.
Yeah, it felt like that. And I remember noticing that there was no barrier between the stage and the crowd. You were like right there with them. Yeah. And for this show, there was no one at the show. Literally no one. It was me and Justin and the two dudes. And then like, I don't know, I'm going to guess 30 other people. They did not make any money on that show. But I remember one of the lead singers wearing his sunglasses through the entire show. I probably thought he was being a dumbass at the time. Be like, oh, this guy, you know, but looking back, I'm like, all right. Like it was authentic.
Yeah.
And then the next show was in 2006 at Good Records, and that was just an in-store performance. And I don't have as many strong memories of that, except that it was more crowded. And that's where we bought that 7-inch record and quite possibly this CD in question. We might not have stayed for the whole concert. It might have been like, you dip in, you hear a couple songs, and then you bounce because it was an in-store. You know, it's not the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. They don't even do that many songs when they do an in-store. There were a couple Good record shows that we went to, and it was always like, I mean, it's a record store. So it was like a tiny little stage at the back.
Yeah.
Like it was like weirdly crowded, but kind of fun because you could like look at records while you're listening. And but it definitely wasn't a full show. It's like a, you know, a baby show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they did it outside. I know there's a record store here in Austin and they do shows and they do them outside in the parking lot, which can get a lot bigger. But in the stores, it's like,
yeah,
nothing. There's no room.
This one was definitely inside the record store for sure.
Yeah.
And so I bet we went and saw a couple of the songs and then bought the CD and the record and then went to the cavern. I'm pretty sure that's what happened that day. then there's a couple of years of a gap where the thing is, listeners, when Tara would go to Austin, she was going to have a good time. But like, I don't always have the clearest memories. So I don't know what shows I saw at Stubbs. I have no way of figuring that out.
See, and I feel like I do know all my Stubbs shows, and I don't think that was one of mine, at least.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, Stubbs is one of the venues that I feel like I know I can remember. Maybe that's how I'll go about this. I'll just try to pick the venue and then list every concert I know I went to at that venue.
Mm.
And then I'll have to figure out dates because I won't know. I'll just be like, around here with Fuqua, you know?
Yeah.
It'll just be like, yeah. But then, okay, so then let's skip forward to the ones that you know again.
The next one is February 2012 at the Granada in Lawrence, Kansas. The Granada is a smaller venue, and the tickets were very cheap, and so we saw a lot of shows there. It was great. But that show in particular, Dr. Dog decorated the stage in like KU Jayhawks stuff. And so we have a photo, this great shot of the guitarist. And he's got this whole like Rock Chalk Jayhawks sign next to him that was on stage. Like it was a cool concert, super fun. And then the next two shows we saw them were both at Liberty Hall in Lawrence, Kansas. So Liberty Hall is a like an art house movie theater that also does concerts and other events. So once was in March of 2014, and then the next was April of 2015. And the 2015 show is when I made a fool of myself, and I went up to the merch people and I was like, I've got this great story about this band from 10 years ago. You've got to let me tell it to them. And she was like, no. I was like, come on, please, please. She's like, no, write it down. So I like got a cocktail napkin and a Sharpie, and I wrote out like, we saw you on our first date 10 years ago. We're here again. Whatever. A little note to the band. And cute. I gave it to the merch girl, and she was like, okay, I'll give it to him. And I was like, really? She was like, maybe. So
I like the flip from I'll do it to, okay, mate, you're a little strong. You came off too strong.
I definitely
too much.
Yeah. I was like, definitely maybe way too strong. It felt so special, and like no one gave a shit about it.
I give a shit about it. I think it is special. I'm sure they gave a shit about it when they got the note. They seem like really nice guys. It would probably have been like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's
sweet. Maybe. Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully that's they got it.
Yeah.
Dr. Dog, if you're listening, can you please confirm whether you received the napkin story? Did you sign your full name?
I'm pretty sure I did. And it was probably really hard to read like the 2,000 words that I shoved on this tiny cocktail napkin in Sharpie, but you know.
They were like, what? It's just like scribble, it's just like lines. Mm-hmm. Why would she give this to us? But it just says Tara really big at the end.
Most likely. That's how I sign everything. So those are the five shows that I'm very certain of.
Now I'm second guessing whether I've seen them with you guys. I thought that we had seen them at some kind of festival.
Mm.
But now I'm wondering, maybe that's not the case. Again, I don't know who all I've seen. I know that obviously there's some that I do know, but then there are bands that I'm like, I'm sure I've seen them, but could not tell you where and when, you know? Then makes me think, Melly, maybe you didn't see them.
Yeah. Yeah, we can look. I don't want to do that. So we're going to assume that we saw them at a festival.
I like it. I like it. Obviously, I have seen Architecture in Helsinki with you guys. And maybe I've seen them even without you guys. That doesn't make sense. Did you go to that Denton show that they did?
No, I don't think so.
Where they talk about Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I almost lost my shit, and they did Time Warp. So good.
Oh, shit. Maybe I...
See, this is what happens.
I was definitely familiar at that show. Okay, what venue was it at? Do you remember that?
I can tell you. One second. I saw a lot of shows in Denton.
And I didn't, but I definitely saw some.
Rubber Gloves.
Oh no, I don't think I've ever went there.
Yep. It was at Rubber Gloves, and again, it was actually, there were not a lot of people there, and I had already seen them with you guys, I think in Austin.
Yeah, maybe at Emo's.
at emos, at the old emos, not the new emos, the ones that doesn't exist any longer.
Inside the new, the old emos inside.
The old emos inside, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was like a sauna in there.
Yeah, it was. And then they were playing at Rubber Gloves in Denton, and I was like, oh shit. And I actually remember, that's why I was like, were you there? Because I kind of remember you not being there.
Yeah, I don't think I was.
I obviously like lost my shit because they mentioned Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I grew up watching that movie, and it made me very happy that they also liked it as mm-hmm. much as I did.
Funny that you brought up architecture again, because I wanted to point out like a really sweet, I think, homage to architecture that Dr. Dog did, is that they covered an architecture song, and Dr. Dog's version became really popular. But Architecture's Never was like, it didn't get as much traction as Dr. Dog's version did. And usually I get annoyed by people who do covers that get more attention than the original, like when they're all still performing and, you know, doing their work. But this time their cover is really, really great. And I think of it as kind of like an homage, because Dr. Dog and Architecture toured together like in those first days of Dr. Dog's, you know, time. And so I think it's more of a, it's not just a, oh, we like this song, so we're going to do it. It's more of a, oh, we like these folks.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a great song, and we can jam on it, you know?
Yeah. I saw that actually. And it made me happy when I was doing research for this. I was like, that's an Architecture and a Helsinki song.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me happy. So yeah. And also now that I know that they were touring together, that all makes sense. Tracks. And they seem very nice, I will say, just from the research I've done and looking at videos and stuff. I'm like, these guys seem really nice. You want to support people who are really nice.
Wait, have we, what other albums have we done so far? This is our first like band with guys in it, right?
Yes, because okay. I am pretty lady centric. It's not even true. It was funny because I was going to do a couple times. I've pivoted. I was going to do like, I mean, we'll get to them, so I guess I shouldn't spoil it, but mm-hmm. I have had a few where I was like, oh, I'm going to do this band and it's guys, and you know, and then I said, no, we're going to go with more ladies, but we will get into, yeah, more guys in bands.
Yeah. It's Korn, isn't it? That's the one that you're thinking of.
Korn.
Yeah. Okay. All I can't wait for that album.
I don't think I have a Korn album. I'm going to look now, because now I want to know if I do. Tool, though. Tool's definitely sure. It's going to make its way.
I hear that. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, this is our first. It's also our first. No, I guess not. I guess technically Garbage is a band, but it feels like our first band.
Yeah. Well, it has a lot of singers or vocal tracks on it, and that's different.
It's a little jam bandy.
It is the psychedelic rock genre adjacent, or firmly within that genre. Firmly. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I'm going to say it's this album is firmly within it.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say for sure. But I like it because this album is very like Beatles and David Bowie vibes, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Like heavily influenced sort of like 70s, 60s, 70s psychedelic pop rock, mm-hmm. which I like. So it was fun, but it's, you can tell, you're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Would you recommend this album?
No, I would recommend their first album and their second album and their third album and their fourth album, but I would not really recommend this, I don't think, to most people, because I think it just, and we'll talk about this when we get into the top five, there are some great songs, but I think it's just too all over the place, and I know that's not going to make sense, I guess, but
no, I think it makes sense.
It feels too eclectic.
Yeah. Also feels very derivative of other things. And yeah. I am not, again, this is the first album that I've listened to front to back by them. But yeah, I it feels it feels early. It feels very of other people. And it was, you know, kind of for me, I was wondering, like, where does it stand up? You know, is it kind of like, there's a lot there that feels like, oh, you can see kind of where they will go in it, you know, but it definitely doesn't feel unique in any way, except the end.
Unique enough, right? Without being just kitschy. And I think in their actual albums, they settle into a vibe a bit more.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't love it. It's just like, if you're going to listen to one Dr. Dog album, I would not say this should be it.
Well, thank you for making it my first then.
Oh, you're so welcome. Like I said, with you, I break the rules. So...
Well, yeah, but I will also, I mean, I will say I walked away going, oh, I'm going to like revisit Dr. Dog, because I have always viewed it as your band. I've, you know, it's like, that's one of Tara's bands, like King Lizard, Gizzard Wizard.
You got some of the words just in the wrong order.
I'm sure we'll listen to, I don't know if you have a CD by them, but.
Oh, I do. I do, in fact.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to have to happen eventually down the line. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I, after this album, was like, oh, I kind of want to check them out and like give them a couple albums, just like a full run listen and see if I like them, even though, again, now I'm like, but they're not touring and they're doing their solo stuff. And while they are making an album, I'm wondering how many more they'll make. Mm-hmm. But I also wouldn't recommend this album because I don't necessarily, I'm like, I would feel like I don't know the band yet.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so while I enjoyed listening to it, and I listened to it a lot, actually, I've listened to this full album many, many times now. I don't know if it's going to stand up as something that stays in the kind of consistent, you go back to rotation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure it's very representative of their work yet. So until I listen to more, we're probably not. Mm-hmm. I did have a note that's like, this is my kind of music. I really enjoy it. You know, I loved the poetry at the end. I do like anything that is reminiscent of David Bowie. I'm going to be into, I'm sorry. I'm just like epic sort of psychedelic rock from that time that makes you want to get up and like throw your hands in your singing. Is a little bit like, I don't know. It is something that I enjoy listening to when I need a pick me up, you know, and I don't listen to it very often. The other album we're going to do very soon has a similar thing to it in times that I'm like surprisingly love. And it makes me feel good. It's like, it makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. And then the like weird middle song, it's like a death march and kind of, a little grungier than the rest. I love that one too. So like, yeah, I think that it hits, it is eclectic. It is very reminiscent of other things, but it hits all the things that I like already, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm curious to see when I listen to their other albums, if that continues or if they fall into a groove where I'm like, oh, now you're like finding your own voice and I don't like you as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll be interested to hear what you think.
Because it could happen. But yeah.
Do you know which album you're going to listen to next?
Which would you recommend?
Okay, yeah. I would probably say go to Shame Shame as their next album. It's actually the sixth album of theirs, but I think it's one of their better ones. Easy Beat is their first album, and I really like it. And so it's probably a little bit more in this original sound than Shame Shame, but Shame Shame has a ton of hits on it.
B Room was one that I looked at and was like, oh, maybe I know this one. Because I was trying to figure out, is it true that I haven't listened to any other albums?
Yeah.
Yeah, B Room was the one that I was looking at and thinking about maybe trying first. But that was just based on some weird like pull towards it that I don't even know why.
Yeah.
And really it was like, have I listened to this one before? Maybe that's why I want to re-listen to it. But Shame Shame deluxe edition or no?
Yeah. Always go deluxe.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. I'll listen to Easy Beat and Shame Shame and then get back to you on whether I have fallen in love with the band or if I'm like, they're good. I don't like them still. All right. So top five.
Yeah.
We've already started getting into these songs a little bit. I kind of want to start from the bottom.
Yeah,
number
do it.
Number six. I've Just Got to Tell You. Huh. It's my least favorite song on this album.
Really? Is it the doo-wop stuff or is it something else?
Yeah, I put sappy, happy pop. it's just a little too like, you know, it's not bad. It's not a bad song. I don't actually think there is a bad song on here necessarily. It's not one I want to skip it every time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place somewhere in the middle of the song that I actually kind of get into for a second, but then it kind of shifts back into what it's been doing. And I'm like, meh, I just want to skip it.
Mm.
So that's my least favorite. What about you? What's your number six?
Live in a Dream was my number six.
The poem song?
Mm-hmm.
Rude.
Is this the wrong time to tell you that it's because of the poem? That's the reason
it's okay.
Like it the least.
Wait, is it because you don't like the poem or you don't like that there is a poem?
I don't like it's all lumped into one track. Like,
right.
I want that to be separate.
Yeah. But often it is one track in like CD land. It just goes for a while in silence. And then it picks up with whatever spoken word, blah, 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 extra little Easter egg you get.
Yeah.
And they don't do that. They just kind of like run into it. But I think it's because the song, the like poem goes with the song. Like it's a spoken word version of the song, right? Like,
yeah.
You're like, yeah. All right.
I think the way it's structured as the end of the album and the end of that song, it just feels like we didn't know what to do. So here we are going to do like another kitschy thing to close this out.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, the first time it happened, I was like, oh, this is it. To me, it felt like the Easter eggy thing, you know, the thing that a lot of people did where they sort of had a little commentary about the album and about life at the end of a song. But it does normally go to silence for a while to let you know that there's like a break, there's a pause, right? And then this comes in, and they didn't do that. But I still feel like it's the same thing, even though it's because it's at the end, because it is a spoken word thing. I just think I have now listened to that song many times, and I do think that the spoken word part of it goes with the song. Mm. So it's not as much a commentary on the entire album as it is the song. It's really attached to that song.
I do like the poem a lot.
Yeah, me too. And I like that it's an original poem. I literally wrote down like, what is this? Who is this? Who wrote this poem? And then the research found out it was Scott McMicken. McMicken. it's good. Yeah, I like the poem. I liked it. I don't love it. It does feel very reminiscent of other things. But as again, the entire album does. Everything feels very reminiscent of other things. But I did like that it was there. I really like the song before it, though. And then I like that there is poetry. So. Mm.
So what did you have it ranked as?
Four? Yeah.
Well, that's fair, because I had what you've ranked as six. I had that as four. Mm. So.
Flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
Flippity-flop. What's your number five?
California.
Me too.
Hmm.
Again? Happy poppy sunshine. It is very catchy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's a part in the middle where I'm like, this is cute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very cute, you know?
It's very singable. I mean, one of the things I like most about Dr. Dog is that they sing in a register that is easy, and their melodies are interesting and simple at the same time. And so you just catch, you know, the wave of the melody or whatever, and you can just hum along. And then a song like this with California, there's all these harmonies that you get to enjoy too. And so I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very singable song. It's the one that I think I sing the most, even though I like others more. It's the one that I just caught on to the most when listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we know our number fours. Number three, I haven't actually figured this out yet. My top, because they've changed a few times.
Mm-hmm.
When I first listened to it, I really liked Die, Die, Die mm-hmm. a lot. Felt like a death march with trombones, and I, mm-hmm. you know, sad boy yodeling, I wrote down. Like, I like it. It's a little like grungy and funky. And but then Goner has kind of come up on the list. I'm gonna say number three is Ain't It Strange.
Okay.
Is that your number one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. I'm telling the Ain't It Strange, Goner, and Die 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 are the three that like I really like them a lot, and struggled because they've changed a few times. Ain't It Strange is kind of hard though, because it's the first song. It does come out. It's like it's super strong and it's catchy and it's fun. And I have like, it's Beatles-esque. Mm-hmm. It's very psychedelic pop. It is like showcasing psychedelic pop, probably the best out of all of them for sure. Yeah. And I do think it's very good. Again, it has horns and harmonies is what I wrote.
Those are the reasons I love it.
Feels epic, mm-hmm. you know. Goner also feels epic to me, but in a more David Bowie-esque kind of way. But it's more, and those two, honestly, for a while I was like, they're kind of the same song, right? Like, they just like blend really well together.
Mm.
Like, they feel cohesive and of the same piece. And then you get to I've Just Got to Tell You, and it's like, what the fuck? Which is, I think, maybe why I've Got to Tell You is so down on the list for me, because it feels abrupt and very it shifts very quickly away from what the other two are building.
I think you're right about that. I think had they shuffled the order, we might have different opinions about some of the later songs.
So what's your number three?
Goner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was my number three for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe still is. I don't know. They've shifted. Those three have shifted. Yeah. One was Die, Die, Die. And it like, basically it moved down the list, and Goner and Ain't It Strange moved up, but then they felt too of a same.
Yeah.
So then that's kind of shifted around.
Yeah. Ain't It Strange, I think the reason I like it is it's just a strong structure, and it's just really catchy. And I think it's one of their early hits that
it is probably
their sound, you know.
It's probably the best song, right? Like, most, again, cohesive and like sure of themselves. It's like the one where you feel like they know what they're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that Goner does the same thing.
Yeah. So tell me more about Goner. Why do you like that one?
I think that Goner is a little more, and now I want to re-listen to them yet again.
Yeah.
But on the last listen that I did right before we started this, I changed them around because Goner has a little bit more of an epic feel to it. It's a little more like there's like swelling in it that mm-hmm. happens that makes me want to like get up and go, you know? That's it. That's the only reason why it peaked over, you know? It's like,
especially that line, I'm just looking at the lyrics where it's like, I was born a boy but became a man, or whatever it is. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if that's the right tune with the lyrics, but that's the one that stands out. It's like it
also reminds me, Goner specifically reminds me of the other album we're about to do that I gave to you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very specific song on that album that we will talk about that this song reminds me of. And so it could also just be like time and place right now. Mm-hmm. And if I listen to this album in a year from now, I'd be like, why did I pick that? But yeah. So number two for both of us is Die, Die, Die.
Yes.
Nice.
But you know, what's funny about this is that I'm much more passionate about this song than any of the others. Like, even though I've ranked it number two, part of that is recognizing that Ain't It Strange is more their sound, I think. But Die, Die, Die is, it's a song that I go back to in my head all of the time. Like, I cannot even tell you the number of times where I like, that song just comes in my head and I'll just like shout it and sing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it just gives me so much like bittersweet satisfaction. Like something about that song, like it's a good release, but it's also like just the right amount of like frustration.
Yeah, it has a lot of, it's obviously got a lot of anger in it. It doesn't sound like anything else on the album. Does it sound like anything else they've ever done? Because it reminded me of like other bands, like Man kind of vibes, you know? And so it's the one I liked it the most when I first listened to this album. I was like, this is the song. This is it.
It takes me to a particular place. I don't know.
Yeah. And it is very singable. Like the, I don't want to die in your arms. I just want to die.
Yes. Yes.
It's so good. You like, you know, turn up the volume and sing it out while you're driving your car, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. I feel like it should be number one, actually. Now that we've talked about it, I've changed
it.
And
let's
changed
do it. Yeah. I agree.
Listen, we can all agree that it's maybe not the best song on the album, but it is the best song on the album.
Yeah. It's, and I think it's the one that will stay with you.
Sorry, yeah, it's the one that you'll remember.
Yeah.
And you'll go back to that, like, hooks you, whereas the other ones, again, while good, they feel very reminiscent of other things. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if I want to listen to psychedelic pop song that's Beatles-esque, I'm going to listen to the Beatles probably. Or if I want to listen to, you know, something that feels epic and David Bowie, like, I'm going to listen to David Bowie probably. But this one feels like them, you know?
That's yeah, good. It does for sure. Now I want to listen to their other albums again and just like have a moment. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. Start from the top and just work my way through. That sounds good. That's the vibe I need, actually. This is good. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
I have a question for you. When you gave me this album, you then came to me and said, Justin wants it back. And I wanted to know, was Justin wanting it back because of the sentimentality of the first date? Or was Justin wanting it back because of the 1,000 special copy? Like, did he know the thing that you did not know is my question.
Really. I don't know that actually, but I think he just recognized that it was special. Okay. Like that, cause it does have all the hand drawn stuff on it. And he knows that was from, I mean, it was hand done. And so I think it was more about that than actually knowing it was rare, but more about like, no, that's one of our like special ones. I think he also thought it was autographed because of all the hand drawn stuff.
Yeah. I can see where you would think that.
Yeah.
You
know? And honestly, I mean, they write Dr. Dog with Sharpie. So one could argue that it is, you know.
No, it's obvious that they did them. And there's like, you can look online and see different versions of it. And it's fun because they're all very unique.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's that quality. And like he's very particular about music memorabilia and, you know, has a good inventory on what we have.
That's nice, because I don't have that with my own stuff at all. Like, well, I don't know if I have it, but that's good that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I run into things that I have, and I'm like, oh, I have this? How cool. I should remember that, put it somewhere where I can access it again.
Yeah. One of the things that he's been working on is just researching all the different albums that we have. And like, I forgot we had that 7-inch. And he was like, no, we have a 7-inch. And he like went over there and pulled it out. Was like, we have this. It's the same thing. It's like,
and so was he happy to have it back? Was he like, thank God?
I mean, he hasn't touched it or looked at it, but I'm sure he's happy it exists in our home. So the thing is, we might actually not be able to have me send you stuff because I get a little in trouble.
I'll send it back. I'll send it back. It's about the, you know, talking about the album. So
right.
I'll just ship it back with whatever new one I'm sending to you that I don't want back. And like, you can keep these, remember.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of that, I shipped or I gave you one of them back.
Yes.
That I was supposed to keep. And I do kind of want it back. If you really want to part with it, I've decided I want that one for my car. So
okay. Yeah, I'll send it with the next one that I'm gonna send.
And I might send it back down the road, but I'll always receive it again, you know?
Or that's we might the do the great selling of CD thing.
Yeah.
Part of maybe.
I'm feeling less interested in that as I get reacquainted with all these CDs.
Oh, that's nice. Wait till you get to some of the other stuff though. You know, there's going to come a point in this where you're going to be like, why, Melody? Why? And I'm like, I don't know. I tried things.
Mm.
And by trying things, I mean, I bought CDs that I shouldn't have.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Yes. We are all guilty of that, I think.
Do we have anything else to discuss on Dr. Dog and their takers and leavers?
There's another Dr. Dog CD. Sorry, I'm just looking now to see which ones I have.
That okay, what is that one?
This is We All Belong.
Yeah, that was the other one I looked at that I was like, I may have listened to this one. And since it's in your house, maybe that's true. Yeah.
And we're going to do a live show. I haven't told you this, Melody, but we're going to do a live show.
She is not. She has not told me this.
By request, one of our listeners wrote in and said, I think you should do a live show. And I said, okay, that sounds great. So what we're going to do is we're going to release all the episodes and then like a week after have a live show.
Okay.
Like our end of season thing.
Oh man. Do I have to pick the song for the album for the live show? That's going to be intense. That's going to take some good thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's got to be a crowd pleaser.
Or not.
I actually picked the worst album I have in my entire thing. I'm like, I hate this thing. I don't know why I have it, but if we're going to do a live show, baby. Everyone's going to have to listen to my shit music.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we doing this live show at?
I mean, we're just going to broadcast online.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
But do it live. You know,
I like it, but I think it's a good idea. Live show as our like, we'll release everything and then we'll do a live show.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard it here first, listeners.
Save the date.
Which we have not given you yet. So remember to save the date later when we give you the date.
Yeah.
Just plan for it. Just know that you want to be there and you want to witness the very first live streaming show.
It's going to be great.
I think it's going to be great. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Don't forget to keep your CDs. Don't let other people take them, especially if they are rare and special to your life. Keep on listening to your CDs and enjoy the music. And we will talk to you next time.
See you later.
Bye.